Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, and my new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Listen to and follow Unpaused, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Face Connecticut, an in-depth look at today's issues.
Hello and welcome to Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham on WTIC News Talk 1080. Light 100.5 WRCH and 96.5 TIC. We are going to be talking about several issues related to Revolution Wind and how the state of Connecticut does see it as a benefit. I will point out that the state is suing the Trump administration over the stop work order that was issued on Revolution Wind, although that's not so much going to be the focus of our conversation today. We have requested further comment on that matter, by the way, but haven't heard anything further from either of those sides. We are joined by the Department of Energy and Environmental Protection Commissioner, Katie Dykes. Welcome back on Face Connecticut. Good to talk with you again.
Great to talk with you, too.
There's plenty to talk about with Revolution Wind, but I always like to think about people who may be new to the audience, who maybe are new to Connecticut, and they're kind of hearing about Revolution Wind. It's been in the works now for years, but it's new to them. So, Commissioner, could you kind of give us some background on what Revolution Wind is in Connecticut, in this region?
Of course. Revolution Wind is a 704-megawatt offshore wind project that's under construction here in the region. It's being built out in the ocean about 15 nautical miles southeast of Rhode Island. And it's a project that has been in the works for a really long time. Connecticut and Rhode Island have helped to support this project with contracts that we signed to get the project funded back in 2018 and 2019. And that kicked off a process, a nine-year permitting process that the developer, which is a Danish company, Ørsted, completed. They received all of their permits for the project, and the project has been under construction and is expected to start delivering power to residents and businesses on the New England grid in the second half of next year, 2026. It's a very significant project. Just to put into context, you know, 704 megawatts is the equivalent of the electricity that could power about 350,000 homes, or roughly 2.5% of New England's electricity supply. And it's a really important project because it's employing about 1,200 people. In Connecticut and Rhode Island, the state pier down in New London. If you're familiar with that part of the state, you can, you know, drive by and see the massive turbines and other components that are being deployed from the pier, where we have about 200 people employed helping to support the construction and deployment of this project. It's been, moving forward fairly smoothly until late August, when we saw an unprecedented intervention from the Trump administration's Department of Interior that issued a stop work order to seek to halt the construction of the project, citing concerns about national security or other issues, which were all fully vetted as part of the permitting process. So this is a cause for a lot of concern about the impact to the reliability of the grid. We expect to see potentially about $500 million of an increased energy costs if the project is delayed. We've got many workers that are, sitting idle and concerned about what this could mean if the project is fully blocked. And it's causing a lot of concern among investors about a new precedent, dangerous precedent being set To allow for, you know, projects that are, this one is 80% complete, you know, with all of its permits. If this is the new normal of halting projects, that sends a chilling effect for developers thinking about, you know, building other kinds of generation projects in our region.
It's definitely caused confusion from the Lamont administration, that stop work order that you mentioned, from the current Trump administration, the second Trump administration, if you will. I want to draw back on how you mentioned 2018, 2019, which goes back to that first Trump administration. And at that time, also the early days of the Lamont administration, I would point out. Take me back to those days when you were working with the Trump administration. Did it seem like everything was ironed out and ready to go, and so that's why you're confused this time around that this stop work order has been put in place? So you guys are saying that at that point in time, it did appear all set to go, and you proceeded.
Certainly. I mean, this is a project that's been through, you know, a very lengthy permitting process that spanned both the Trump administration and the Biden administration. It's no secret that President Trump is not a fan of offshore wind and renewables. That's, you know, certainly an opinion that he holds. But at the same time, we have a rules-based system here. The project met all of its, you know, the requirements of the permits. We have, you know, a developer that's invested billions of dollars in getting the project to this point, where 45 out of 65 turbines have been installed. And we need the power. This is a time where, you know, not just in New England, but across the country, we've got, you know, a growing economy. We've got, you know, manufacturing increasing. We've got, you know, more demand for electricity. And it's, you know, power plants, generation resources like this, you know, are, it takes, you know, they can't be built overnight. You need to have the certainty that projects can get permitted and financed and constructed and move forward. And it usually takes a couple of years. So we don't have any ready alternatives to this source of power if it is blocked. And that's one of the reasons that I think, you know, Governor Lamont was especially concerned in the second Trump administration to make sure that projects that are already permitted and well along under construction would continue to have a smooth path to be able to you know, connect to the grid and deliver power. And I think that's why you see so much concern about this unprecedented you know, intervention here, seeking to block this project.
And this project, Revolution Wind, is roughly 80% complete, correct, Commissioner?
That's right. That's right. And I think the other, you know, another thing to point out is, as we've heard the Trump administration, you know, talk about things that priorities that we share here in Connecticut. We need more sources of domestic energy supply, and we need to improve grid reliability and keep our energy costs affordable. There's nothing, you know, closer to home than offshore wind here in New England when we think about ways to tap into the new power sources that we need to meet demand. The ISO New England is New England, the entity that operates New England's electric grid, and they issued a statement shortly after the stop work order was announced, raising concern that delaying the project will increase risks to reliability in New England in the near term. At the same time, there's been, you know, some question about, well, is offshore wind affordable? And is it reliable? And actually, the Revolution Wind project is one that, you know, the contracts that we signed predate the pandemic and the rise in interest rates and supply chain issues that have made the cost of other infrastructure projects, you know, that have come along more recently, more expensive. So that's why, you know, this is the kind of project that is competitively priced compared to the cost of even new gas plants that we may look to in the future to try to build, you know, as part of an all the above energy mix. You know, those newer projects are going to be more expensive just because of a lot of the changes in our economy that have occurred in recent years. So You know, these are many reasons why we see so many different folks raising concern about this action.
So we're looking at 80% completion, roughly, cost $4 billion in investments. Commissioner, I don't know exactly the mechanics of how this is all currently set up and how it's in the works, but is it possible if the stop work order is not lifted anytime soon, if the project does not resume or go to 100% completion for some time yet to be seen here, is it possible that this could run in some limited capacity, or does it need to be completed?
It needs to be completed. There are offshore substations that are, you know, in the midst of construction. So we need to have the stop work order lifted in order for the project to be able to connect to the grid and deliver power. I just want to clarify that the contract that we signed with the project back in 2018, 2019 time period, there are no, you know, there have been no changes to that contract, those contract terms or price. And so the developer has taken on $4 billion in investment, but they've honored the original price in the contract. So to the extent that there have been any, you know, increases, the developer has not been, you know, asked for the Connecticut ratepayer to take those on. And in fact, now we're so close to the time when this project would come online, because it is, you know, so far advanced in construction, that the project, the grid operator here in New England is counting on these megawatts to be available next year. And there are no ready alternatives. So if the Trump administration persists in keeping this stop work order in place, we will see higher prices for energy in New England. You know, that could top $500 million starting in in the next year or two. That's a couple bucks per month for the average residential ratepayer, simply because we would have a shortage of energy supply, and that would push up prices and making our grid less reliable and less resilient. So this is a real concern in terms of what the cost impacts could be for residents and businesses here in our region.
Our deep commissioner in Connecticut is Katie Dykes, and she is our guest on this edition of Face Connecticut. I'm Morgan Cunningham. Let's talk about energy affordability impacts with Revolution Wind. How many homes are impacted here?
Right. So the way to think about it is, again, this about 350,000 homes is the amount of energy that this project will supply when it comes online. But really everyone in New England will be impacted, because the grid itself, you know, relies on having a sufficient amount of generation available, you know, to meet demand at any particular moment. And that includes a little bit of a cushion of additional generation that we need should we have a really hot day or a couple day stretch of really cold weather in the wintertime. Those are the time periods when our grid is really stressed and needs all of the grid the power resources that available to help meet demand. And offshore wind actually performs really well during those peak periods. You think about it, those really cold days are when the wind is blowing out on the ocean. And offshore wind provides an additional complement to support the reliability of the grid at the times when we need it most. We've seen that demonstrated through a project that was recently built by New York called South Fork Wind, one of the first grid-scale offshore wind projects to begin producing power here in the Northeast. And that's really the operation of that facility is really confirmed that this wind resource we have just off our shore is really powerful and can really complement the other resources that we have on the grid. We know, you know, Governor Lamont has talked about the need for an all the above approach to, you know, using different forms of power generation to meet our needs, whether it's natural gas and hydropower, nuclear, renewables, energy efficiency. And we need to have that kind of partnership with the federal government to help support those diverse domestic resources coming online. So we're optimistic or hopeful that perhaps there will be a way to, you know, find a path here, perhaps identify some new avenues for cooperation with our federal partners on diversifying that mix in the future. But in the near term, we can't have a reliable grid and an attractive and show the developers that the Northeast and the U.S. are a good place to invest if we have these kinds of surprise interventions in a fully...
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk. Crazy weather we're having. No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters, your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Permanent project, you know, coming so late in the construction process. It's not acceptable for the grid, and it's not fair to, you know, all of these workers. Many of them are, these are union jobs, you know, men and women who are really proud about what they're building with this project and want to get back to work.
This is Face Connecticut. If you're just joining us, we are with Connecticut's Department of Energy and Environmental Protection Commissioner. She's Katie Dykes, and I'm Morgan Cunningham. You had mentioned that there might be a path forward here with the Trump administration. I know that Governor Lamont has been trying to find some kind of a diplomatic way to resolve this and hope that it's some kind of a misunderstanding, we've heard him say in the last few weeks. What could that look like? Is there anything on your mind that might be able to jumpstart this?
Well, you know, I think the governor has made great efforts since Inauguration Day to travel to Washington to meet with the Secretary of Energy, Secretary of Interior. You know, he's someone who really works well across the aisle and takes a real pragmatic approach. And again, Governor Lamont has talked about the need for, you know, being open to lots of different forms of energy to supply our needs, all in the name of, you know, energy affordability, right? That's our North Star. We need to get costs down, and we need to find the best mix of resources that can help us do that. And in this case, you know, I think that there's lots of different ways that we could work with the administration. Certainly, they've had a big focus on nuclear as well as natural gas. I'll just say, just recently here in Connecticut, of course, we're the home of the largest power plant in New England, which happens to be the Millstone Nuclear Facility. We worked hard to keep that facility online, and there's been a lot of talk about, you know, whether new nuclear could be a resource for us in the future. That's certainly something that we've heard President Trump talk about quite a bit, in addition to other resources like natural gas and so on. So I think that there's lots of opportunities to work together, but we've got to get, you know, we've got to get these projects that are already, you know, permitted and under construction to have a pathway to be able to get built and come online. And so, you know, we'll wait to see. But I think, you know, the governor has been taking every effort to reach out to the administration, and we hope that there will be an urgent resolution to this issue.
At the top of the program, for anybody just joining us on Face Connecticut, I did mention that Connecticut and Rhode Island, the attorney generals in the two states, are joining forces to sue over the Revolution Wind stop work order. Now, I'm not here to speak with our commissioner in deep specifically about the legality of that or what's going on with that particular case, but I do want to point out that Rhode Island is involved in Revolution Wind, and they have some kind of a stake in this particular situation here. Can you talk about, from an energy standpoint, Commissioner, how your office, how your team has been working with Rhode Island to see Revolution Wind through?
Yes. So actually, the two states have made different investments in this project to the extent that Connecticut, we have contracts that Connecticut ratepayers will support for roughly 300 megawatts of the 700 megawatt project. And Rhode Island utilities signed contracts for the balance of the project. This is through separate competitive RFPs that were conducted in the 2018-2019 timeframe. So to that extent, we are cooperating together in the two states. Obviously, we work really closely together as neighbors, and since our two states are part of the same electric grid, so you know, being able to support this investment together makes a lot of sense and provides a lot of benefits for our ratepayers in the two states, but also for all ratepayers across New England, to the extent that any additional source of generation that plugs into the grid is helping to support reliability and provide energy supply that the region as a whole will benefit from. We have a very great relationship with our partner, our colleagues in Rhode Island, and I think we also are cooperating, obviously with the attorneys general in both states. We are hopeful that we can achieve a resolution of this issue, through dialogue with the administration. But of course, there are significant economic harms to the developer. I've spoken to the negative impacts in terms of reliability and energy costs that our ratepayers could experience if this stop work order persists. And so, for that reason, that's the reason that litigation, has been pursued here as well. This developer has made a significant investment, and every day that that this stop work order stays in place, there's significant costs to the developer and losses on the project. Not to mention, the men and women working to deliver this project, who are being put through a lot of uncertainty as they sit idle and wonder what's going to happen to their jobs. So those are, some of the reasons that the litigation had to be initiated a few days ago. But we are hopeful that, there will be a resolution to this situation. And I hope it will come really soon.
Right, Commissioner, you mentioned the jobs. There are about 1,200 jobs in Connecticut and Rhode Island as well. What are they doing in the interim if there's a stop work order? I know that you mentioned they're sitting idle. I don't know if there's anything else for them to do. Kind of tell me what they're up to, the workers.
Sure. The stop worker order really impacts the work offshore. There's still some onshore work that can occur, but as each day goes by, of course, this is a very complex piece of equipment, this infrastructure that's being built out in the ocean, and so these delays are really complicating the construction schedule. But the developer is working really hard to try to ensure that they can continue to deliver the project. That just gets a little bit more challenging with every day that this continues to be delayed. And I just want to say that we have 1,200 jobs roughly being supported by the Revolution Wind project in Connecticut and Rhode Island. The project is also has a massive supply chain. At least 50 Connecticut companies have been involved in offshore wind and related port development projects. And beyond Connecticut and Rhode Island, Revolution Wind is supporting hundreds of additional jobs in states across the country, from cable manufacturing to shipbuilding in Louisiana and so on. And so this is an example of the kind of energy investment that can help lift our economy, and with a domestic energy source, it's really a vital engine for employment and economic development in our country, and it's something that we should feel really proud about. And I hope that through this process, we can get folks back to work. And get back to work, on delivering affordable domestic energy supply that we need to support our thriving, a thriving U.S. economy.
Are there any final thoughts that you have to mention to that end, or just in general as we close our conversation on Revolution Wind, the stop work order, and what that means for Connecticut?
You just got to keep helping people understand what this project is about and the benefits that it is so close to being able to deliver to our grid, and most importantly, the importance of providing some predictability for developers that want to invest in our region, to know that when they've got their permits, they can move forward to construction, that the men and women working on these projects here in our state, can feel confident that their hard work and the incredible infrastructure that they're building can move forward and help to keep the lights on and keep costs down in our region, so we can reverse the situation with Revolution Wind, but hopefully ensure that we don't see these kinds of interventions happening in the future.
I appreciate the conversation with us on Face Connecticut. We'll be following the issue and we'll be in touch, okay?
Thank you, Morgan. Appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
Face Connecticut is a production of the News and Public Affairs Department of WTIC Radio.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.